Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Unlocking the Paranormal. I am your host, Carrie, and today I'm sitting down with John Methenkamp, the creator of Myths, Monsters, and Mullets, the YouTube and TikTok series where the paranormal gets told with humor, chills, and some really wild stories. On his show, John sits down with people who share their own encounters with the unknown. And I actually joined him a while back to talk about some of my own personal experiences. If you are interested in checking out that interview, just head over to the Myths, Monsters, and Mullets YouTube channel. Now, in our conversation today, John shares with me what first convinced him the paranormal is real, and a recent encounter with a creature, honestly, so bizarre that it left him completely shaken. And the wildest part, he's got a photo to back up his story. Honestly, I can't wait for you all to hear this interview, to hear John's stories, and to check out the photo that I will be posting on social media. Now, because I'm so excited for you all to hear this, let's get into today's episode.
Well, thank you for having me on, Carrie. My name is John Fike, also known as John Cougar Hunter Methenkamp on TikTok, YouTube, wherever you find your podcast. You can look up Myths, Monsters, and Mullets. I run a show where I have people come in, tell their paranormal encounters, and I do a live show every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time on TikTok. So, you know, people who are just scrolling through TikTok, if they have a paranormal encounter, they can just come in and tell it and we'll record it. And, you know, sometimes they end up on the show. Sometimes they don't. Just depends on what the guest wants. But, you know, if you're wanting to hear some paranormal encounters, check me out on YouTube, most of your podcast players and TikTok.
Perfect. So I think I put a post out on Facebook where we met over Facebook, and you had kind of reached out and said, I have a ton of paranormal encounters, and I've been dying to hear some of those encounters. So I don't know if you have a certain theme you want to stick with or what type you want to share, but I'm all ears.
Okay. So back before, we'll say 2021. Mm-hmm. I was very skeptical of anything paranormal. I did like watching the shows. You know, there was an interest there. I like watching horror movies. Mm-hmm. But I was very rational minded, and I didn't give much credence to it. It's like, okay, you know, it's people getting scared. You know, I really do have a very analytical mind, but we decided, a group of us guys at work who all enjoyed watching the paranormal shows and things like that, we decided we were going to go to the Randolph County Infirmary in Winchester, Indiana, which is not far from my house. They offer, you know, overnight stays, things like that for paranormal investigations. And, you know, we were going to be the next ghost hunter show, you know, with our $20 cameras and you know, not knowing what we're doing. We're just going to go in there. We're going to record. We're going to take our audio recorders or whatever stuff that we could afford, but we're going to go in there and we're going to actually try to do what you see on all these shows. And right off the bat, we started having some weird things happen, you know, just like you see in all the shows. We started having batteries dying for no reason. Mm-hmm. My wife had a really nice digital camera. We put fresh batteries in this thing right out of the pack. I think it took a total of like 15 pictures and then the batteries died.
Huh.
No, I mean, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I'm like, okay, maybe they were bad batteries. Yeah. You know, that happens. I've opened packs of batteries and had bad batteries in there. So, not paranormal. I was very skeptical. I was going in there. I was going to be the guy who's going to debunk everything. You know, like, you know, a lot of this stuff, they're just scaring themselves. So we went in there and, you know, you take a tour. And one of the things that we had seen, and I don't know if anybody has watched this documentary, but it's called Hellier. You can find it on Amazon Prime. But one of the things that we had seen in this documentary was them doing an Estes experiment. Mm-hmm. So if you're not familiar with the Estes experiment, what that is when you're watching these ghost hunter shows, they'll use that spirit box, that one that's just annoying as hell. You know, it's like going through the radio stations, you know. But words will come through. When they're using it on these paranormal shows, you know, you ask a question and you already have in your mind what you want to hear. So anything that you hear that sounds similar to what you want as an answer, you're like, oh yeah, I said my name, you know, whatever. So what the Estes experiment does is it eliminates that. You hook that spirit box up to headphones and you have a person wear the headphones along with a blindfold. So basically all they're supposed to do is whenever they hear a word, they repeat it. So like I said, we don't know what we're doing. we saw it on a show. This will be cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We decided to do our Estes experiments in what was once the morgue of the infirmary. And first guy gets up there. He volunteered to go first. And he's got the headphones on, got his blindfold on. And I think when we went in there, we had like 18 people, which in hindsight was way too many, but we're rookies. Okay.
Yeah.
So he starts doing the experiment. We're asking questions. He's just sitting there, not doing anything. So I want to say we had agreed to do 15 minutes each for everybody that was going to do it. Well, at about the 7 minute mark, we're all sitting there like, okay, this is a bust. You know, this, I knew this was crap. This stuff doesn't work. He starts swaying, kind of moving back and forth. Like, what is he doing? Is he dancing? You know, I mean, I think you can hear that in the video. Somebody asked that. Is he dancing? Is he dancing to music in his head? What is he doing? And he starts breathing a little heavy. Like, okay, this is getting kind of weird. Then he starts breathing even heavier, like hyperventilating.
Oh.
Breathing heavy. And then all of a sudden, he screams, I'm dead. And starts sobbing.
Oh.
Like a child would sob, crying. So my one buddy goes over and he pulls the blindfold and headphones off of him. This guy's got tears running down his face. And so him and his wife and my buddy that took the headphones off of him, they take this guy upstairs to calm him down. We're like, what the heck just happened? So we find out later on that when he put those headphones on, again, we don't know what we're doing. We had the sweep pattern up just so fast that all he heard was white noise. He never heard any words come through.
Oh.
So basically he was hearing static, just constant static for like 7 minutes. So he said that in his mind, he even admitted, he said he got put in a trance. And in his mind, he felt like he was walking down the hallway to the room where we were doing the Estes experiment. But he said he felt like he walked for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And he was getting panicked because he's trying to find this room. Well, finally he finds the room and he comes in. He sees us all sitting around him and him sitting in the chair with the headphones on, with the blindfold on. So he thought he had died and was having an out-of-body experience. So that's when he screamed, no. I'm dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be so traumatizing.
Well, they didn't end up staying very much longer after that.
Yeah.
But so after watching him go through that, and we didn't know any of that about the walking down the hallway thing yet.
Yeah.
I volunteered to go next. So I'm doing the essay.
You decided to still go through with it.
Yeah, I'm dumb. I put the headphones on and I immediately realized, oh, okay, this sweep pattern's way too high. That's why he wasn't saying anything. So I turned it down and I start getting little chirps of words and things like that. So I do my experiment. Well, then later on, I'm getting words and I'm repeating them. Mm-hmm. At the time, they don't make any sense to me, you know? But I was the one who did all the video editing, going back through the evidence and stuff like that. So when I'm doing my Estes experiment, the guy who had the out-of-body experience and his wife come back into the room, and you hear them coming into the room. Now, I couldn't hear anything because I've got these headphones on. They were those Turtle Beach headphones like gamers use. Like, they cancel out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm going back through the evidence, you can hear them like walking towards the room and then coming in the room. And I say, and I don't remember the exact order that I said this in. I'd have to go back and watch the video. It's like, she goes, intruder with child, something along those lines, as they are walking in. And at the time, nobody picked up on this. So it's like months later and I've gone back through all this evidence and I hear that and I'm like, she goes, intruder, you know, with child.
Mm-hmm.
I go to this guy and I'm like, hey, tell him what happened. He's like, you know, I was going back through my stuff and is your wife pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
And like all the color leaves his face. He's like, why? And I tell him what I heard. And he just kind of looks at me for a second. He goes, she was at that time, but she lost the baby.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
So, but still at this point in the investigation, I'm still a skeptic.
You know,
I don't know any of this has happened yet. So we'll get to... So I decided to do a solo investigation by myself because there was too many people. Like, I'm never going to be able to debunk anything because you guys are doing it for me. You got 18 people in one room. Every voice you hear, we can't prove that it wasn't somebody over here whispering to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to go by myself. So the Randolph County Infirmary has a basement, two living floors where, you know, patients or whatever, and then an attic. They decided they wanted to go do the more Estes experiments up in the attic. I said, I'm staying in the basement by myself because I'm they're three floors above me. I'm not going to hear their voices anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down there and you might say I was provoking, but not really. I was like, I've got my audio recorder, my camera going. I'm like, okay, you know, I've seen some weird things tonight. You know, I've seen batteries die. I've seen just some weird things, you know, the out-of-body experience, you know, things like that. It's like, but I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that ghosts are real.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something to prove to me ghosts are real. Well, hanging from a ceiling fan, and I was in what was the kitchen of the infirmary. There was the strings, you know, turn the fan on. Somebody had attached a feather to this string. So I focused my camera in on that. And I'm like, okay, that's probably the easiest thing in here that you can move. If you want to prove to me that you're real, just move that feather. The feather doesn't move. So I'm like, okay, make a noise, you know, do something. Well, there was a stainless steel countertop next to me. So I knock on that countertop, I'm like, make a noise like that. About, I don't know, 3-4 seconds later in the adjoining room, I get a reply. It was a metallic knocking sound, kind of like what I made.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video, you hear me laugh because if you watch my channel, my default setting is comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it, even in like really stressful situations, I might laugh, I might crack a joke because that's just how I'm wired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, holy cow! You know, I got a response. I walk into the room where I heard the response. I'm like, okay, could have been a coincidence, but if you can do it again, I'll believe. Literally within a second, same sound right in front of me. I'm like, okay, you got me. Ghost real. So I run and I'm like, I got to tell everybody about this, you know?
Yeah.
I've got it. I've got it on audio recorder. I've got it on video. So we end up spending a lot of time the rest of the night down in that basement. And we started off with like 18 people, but we had this place from 6 o'clock in the evening till 9 o'clock the next morning.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, a lot of people, they filtered out, you know, got tired, whatever. So by about, I'm going to say about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were down to 5 people, which was good. I mean, honestly, it was. It was a lot easier to go through the video and audio at that point because you didn't have to try to match up where everybody was in this 58,000 square foot building, you know?
Yeah.
So we had set up some static cameras while we took a break. You know, we went up and ate some pizza and recharged our batteries, and we had some static cameras that we had set up in the basement because that's where all the activity we'd had all night. Anything that anybody had weird happened in that basement. So we'll set up these static cameras. We'll take a break for a while. We'll come back down after an hour, pick them up, and then we'll continue our investigation. So we had picked up, I think we had like 5 cameras set up static all around that basement. And we had picked up all but one of them. And we left the one running last because that was the last one we were going to have to pass to go out of the basement. So we kind of wanted, and we had the camera set up so that from one camera, you could see the next camera and to the next camera and to the next camera. So that, you know, everything was recorded. So we had picked up the one in the kitchen, which was pointed towards the one down the hallway. That one was shut off in the kitchen. You see in the video, I'm in the kitchen with a couple that was with us, and the other two guys are walking towards the final camera. And on the video, you can hear me mumbling. It's a little too far away to hear what's going on, but I had my audio recorder running the entire time. So you can line this stuff up. But I asked the couple that's with us, like they had talked about staying down there and doing their own little investigation, solo investigation, whatever, because of all the weird stuff that's been happening. Like, hey, are you guys staying down here? Are you going to come back up first? You know, what are you guys doing? All of a sudden, out of the darkness, a rock comes flying and hits the cabinet next to my leg. And you hear the rock hit the cabinet on the camera that's all the way down the hall. You can actually, it picked it up on its audio. And then of course my audio recorder picked it up really loud.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we had said, we was going to try to keep it PG while we were doing this because we wanted to put it on. It took every ounce of my being not to use the F word here. But I said, what the hell was that? Or something like that. Or what the hell? And the couple that I was talking to, the woman, she saw the rock actually fly and hit the cabinet. All I heard was it hit my hit the cabinet and then bounced off my foot.
Yeah. But
then I saw the rock like skitter away from us.
Was it like a bigger rock? What size of rock?
It was a pebble. I mean, it was a little bigger than pea sized. I don't know.
Okay.
But it wasn't like a boulder. You know, we were inside. You know, there really wasn't any rocks to be found in there. Like this rock would have had to come in on somebody's shoe or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, So, okay. Ghosts are real. You know, you can't convince me otherwise now. So
you got objects being thrown at you. They're knocking back. When you heard the knock, was there actually metallic objects in that room that it would make sense to hear the metallic sound?
No.
Oh,
that's the other thing. Cause I went in there and I'm like, I even went back through the video and I'm trying to put all this together. I still have all this video, but, trying to put something together for my channel, but I'm looking at it. There is a wooden table in there. There's no like metal countertops. There's no like big piping or anything like that that could have made this hollow metallic sound. It sounded like me tapping on that freaking countertop. And it literally like it, you know, you can tell how far away something is when it makes noise. It literally sounded like it was like 3 or 4 feet in front of me when it did it the second time.
Now, question. What do you feel about mimics? Was it just something mimicking the noise that you created, like a mimic spirit, but instead of hearing a mimic voice, it came out in the form of a knock?
Very well could have been. I mean, that place had so much death and despair that happened in that building over, I think it was an operation for like 150 years, you know? So it's hard to tell what kind of spirits are in that place, but I definitely do believe in mimic spirits. I have a hard time believing in child spirits. You know, if that's truly a child, what is it doing here? You know, it should be, I'm a Christian. So if that's a child, it shouldn't be stuck here. It shouldn't be, you know, the people that to me, a lot of times the people that are stuck here, I do believe that you can get visited by family, and, you know, angelic spirits, whatever you want to call them. But child spirits, if they're not a child that you knew, that doesn't make sense to me. So one little thing that happened after all of that, and I didn't see it until we went back through the evidence. Towards the end of the night, we were getting a lot of activity again in that kitchen, and we had another camera set up. And at one point, it sounds like a child. I think it sounds like a little girl walks up to the camera and says, "Daddy."
Oh.
Again, we didn't hear it in the moment.
Yeah.
But I didn't even have to enhance the audio on the video camera for you to be able to hear this.
Yeah.
Thing, say, "Daddy." So I do believe that there are mimic spirits, and I think that they're trying to entice you. That is my
opinion. Yeah. Otherwise, that'd be terribly heartbreaking to hear that. You know, spirits, they like to play on your emotions, right? You know, come forward as something that's non-threatening, like a child, but really in reality, what is it? You know?
Right. I mean, if I had evil intent and I am trying to entice a man, you know, I think men are hardwired, especially fathers, that if they hear a child in distress, they're going to run to it.
Yeah.
So I do think that maybe that spirit was hoping that myself or any of the other guys, we're all fathers, mm-hmm. would have heard that. Or even the one woman that was with us, you know, you're yeah. still hearing a child in distress or a child asking for help or whatever.
Yeah.
As a parent, you're going to run towards that. I think that's just, yeah. I mean, that's how I'm wired. So
yeah, you might even let your guard down a little bit more, open yourself up to it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Have you gone back?
No.
No.
Right now, if you come into my TikTok live, I'm using all gifts that are sent during the live. That's mm-hmm. going into a fund, and I want to do my my paranormal live on Sunday night from the infirmary. So yes. all the fun, because that thing's like $600 to rent out for one night.
Yeah.
So and I plan on doing it by myself. Mm-hmm. So
oh wow.
Yeah, I think that would be extra creepy.
Oh yeah.
And
oh my gosh.
You know, and then I can eliminate, you know, was that somebody else talking?
Yeah.
You know, I might take one person because, you know, what if I did fall down the steps or something? I'm going to be stuck there till, sure. you know, 9 o'clock in the morning or something. But
yeah.
Yeah. We're going to very, very much limit how many people are coming with us this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe you can come join me.
Oh my gosh. I need to go on more paranormal investigations. I'd be down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So after all that happened, like I said, I went in this skeptic, you know, open-minded yeah. skeptic, you know, I was like, okay, maybe there is something, but probably not. So now I know ghosts are real. You know, yeah. there's no way around it. Ghosts are real. You know, I had a rock thrown out of the darkness at me.
Mm-hmm.
I had this mimic or whatever you want to call it, repeat these knocking sounds to me. Mm-hmm. Ghosts are real. I'm a very rational person. There's no other explanation for what happened that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I start listening to podcasts because I've watched all the shows, and shows can be edited. You know, there's too much. You hear it all the time. Oh, that's AI. That's Photoshop. That's, you know, special effects, whatever. And they're right. They're absolutely right. When mm-hmm. those critiques of those shows, I mean, those shows are there to make money. They don't care if they're telling a true story or not.
Yeah.
So I started listening to the podcast and hearing encounter stories. Well, the one that I ended up on right away, because I was like, if ghosts are real, what else is real? You know, what mm-hmm. else have they told us that's not real that, well, maybe there's some truth to it. I grew up in the woods. You know, I grew up horseback riding and camping in Southern Ohio and spent a lot of time in the woods. And so, you know, it was always in the back of my mind, what about Bigfoot? Bigfoot real? So I end up listening to like Sasquatch Chronicles. And
mm-hmm.
Sasquatch Chronicles was the big one. And I start hearing these encounter stories, and I'm like, I had stuff like that happen to me. At the time, you know, it wasn't Bigfoot. I'm in Ohio, you know, yeah. Bigfoot's not in Ohio. Come to find out, there's a lot of encounters from Ohio. I just didn't know about it when I was, you know, 10 to 16 years old when we were horseback riding and camping, you know,
mm-hmm.
if Bigfoot existed, it's out in California, it's out in Washington and Oregon, stuff like that. It's not in Ohio. You know, but I start listening to all these encounters. I'm like, man, that sounds, that weird thing that happened to me that one time, that's kind of what happened. Well, then I hear the recording of the Ohio Howl. And as soon as I heard it, every hair on my body stood up because I heard the Ohio Howl back in the early 90s. So I won't go into all the encounters that happened to me. I'll tell two of them.
Okay.
The two big ones. My grandparents owned a Winnebago motorhome. and that's what they use to pull the horse trailer. Tar Hollow Camp or Tar Hollow State Park, the horseman's camp, is there's no electric, no running water. It's primitive camping. So if you want electricity or you want running water, you got to bring it. So we had a motorhome, but my grandparents would never run the generator at night. They didn't want to hear it, you know, while they're trying to sleep. So that means we had no air conditioning. And being that I was, you know, between the ages of 10 and 16, my bed was the bunk above the captain's chairs in the front, which also meant it was the hottest part of the camper. So a lot of times in the summer, you know, when it was warm enough and when it got hot, I would make myself a bed in the horse trailer. I'd take the bales of hay that we brought, throw a tarp over top of them, you know, pillow blanket. And that's where I would sleep because it was so much cooler. Well, there was one night when horses get thirsty, they'll start pawing at the ground. And I woke up, I don't know what time it was. I woke up and I heard this thumping sound. And my first thought was, well, the horses are thirsty, they're pawing at the ground. And if I don't get up and take them down to the creek, I'm going to have to listen to this all night. I'm not getting any sleep. So I laid there for a second. I just kept hearing this thump, thump, thump. I'm like, okay, I got to get up. Throw my blanket off, grab my flashlight. As soon as I turn my flashlight on, something outside the horse trailer takes off through the woods towards the creek. And my first thought was, that has to be the biggest deer in the world because it's crashing through these trees. Like, it sounds like it's running through the trees, not just like through brush, like branches breaking and everything else. And the creek that I was going to take the horses to water them, it's like, I don't know, probably 30 feet wide. And it's all flat sandstone rocks in the bed of the creek. You can't walk through that without making noise. Like, you're not sneaking up on anybody if you're trying to walk through that. Mm-hmm. I hear whatever this thing is that ran away from the horse trailer. It took one step in the middle of that. I heard rocks one time, and then it went out the other side, and more branches breaking, more, you know, whatever. It was a big deer. That's all I could think was it was a big deer. You know, I'm not thinking Bigfoot. I take the horses down to the creek and they don't want to stay down there. Like, they're doing circles. They want to get back up to camp. So I took them back up there. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Maybe it was that deer. That's, you know, whatever. Went back to sleep. So, it was probably a couple years later, and I didn't write any of this down. I don't know when any of this stuff happened, because at the time it was just weird stuff that happened. And I was a kid. Can't tell you exactly what year it was, but again, another hot night, and I'm sleeping in a horse trailer, and I get, something wakes me up, and it sounds like a weird tornado siren. When I say tornado siren, no, it, like, that's the closest thing that I can associate it with. It wasn't a tornado siren. It just sounded like a weird tornado siren.
Yeah.
It did the whole, you know, starting low, going high, but then it would just cut off. So I'm laying there and doesn't sound quite right, but I'm still thinking tornado siren. We would listen to the radio before I'd go to bed to make sure it wasn't going to rain, because there's the old stock trailers, you know, it starts raining, the wind will blow the rain in and I'm going to get wet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'd listen to the radio. It wasn't supposed to be any rain, let alone tornadoes or storms. But it happened once, like I That's what woke me up. And I was like, okay, maybe I dreamt that. So I sat there for a few minutes and it does it again. And I'm like, that's not right, because the closest town to the horseman's camp is Londonderry, Ohio. It's in the other direction. Like, it's not even coming from that direction, whatever this sound is. And it doesn't last like, I don't know, it lasted maybe 30 seconds and then it would just shut off. So now maybe I'm exaggerating that because I was a kid at the time, but it sounded like about 30 seconds. And it shut off again. Like, what the heck is that? Because, you know, a tornado siren, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, mm-hmm. it goes down. No, this thing would do that thing and it would shut off. So I sit there for a few minutes more and I'm thinking, well, it's not coming from Londonderry, but there is a fire tower in the middle of the park. Maybe, I don't know that they do, but maybe they got one, a tornado siren there. It does it again. I'm like, okay, well, if there's a tornado, I've got to wake everybody up. You know, we're in campers, you know?
Yeah.
So by the time I get up and start heading towards the camper, it stops again. On my way into the camper, it happens a fourth time. So I hear this howling tornado siren thing four times. I go in the camper and the only thing I do know about this is it was 2 o'clock in the morning, because my grandpa was quite upset that I was waking him up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he made it known, why are you waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, I got to listen to the radio. I'm hearing the tornado siren. So we turn on the radio, nothing. There's no rain. There's clear skies. He says, well, you must've dreamt it. Go back to bed. So I did. But after listening to all these encounters, hearing the Ohio Howl, the recording of the Ohio Howl, that's what I heard that night. So yeah. Do I know Bigfoot exists? No. But did I have some really weird stuff? And I had some other things too, but you know, I'd like to get to my big encounter.
Yeah. Have you ever done like research to see what animals are in the area and if they could ever have any kind of noise that comes remotely close to that?
It's funny you should say that, because I didn't have to, because there's a show called Paranormal Declassified.
Oh, okay.
I think it was on Discovery or one of those shows or one of those channels. And they actually investigated a Bigfoot sighting at Tar Hollow State Park.
Oh yeah.
And they recorded something very similar to what I heard. And they actually did all that research, and like these wildlife people were like, no, there's nothing down there that could sound like that.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So what we do know, there's something there that's unidentified at this point, some kind of animal or creature, if you will.
Yeah. And when we were horseback riding down there, there was a guy who lived in the area, and he would spend a lot of times riding the trails down there. He would come over to the camp while we were down there and, you know, ride with us and stuff like that. He had said that he had seen Bigfoot in that park. Of course, we all made fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bigfoot don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, but where he said he saw it, anytime we would ride down that trail, he would not ride that trail by himself.
Wow.
And I'll go ahead and tell his little story here. It's not that long. He said that he was riding with his dog and they were going down this trail, and Tar Hollow State Park it's the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, there's some really nice ridges and valleys and some pretty steep hills and things like that. So he's riding along and, he smells something really weird, like really foul. And his dog takes off into this like swampy area, and he looks over, he sees Bigfoot standing there. I don't remember how far away he said it was, but his dog went after this Bigfoot. he finally was able to get his dog to come back, and he said it was covered in like green slime or something. Could have been from the swampy area, but whatever. But he said this dog smelled like the Bigfoot, and he had trouble cleaning it off of him or whatever.
Ooh.
But all I know is he would not ride down that trail by himself. If we, when we rode down that trail, like he was pushing us like, we got to go. We'd have to, you know, pick up the pace while we went through that area. And he never would, no matter how much people ridiculed him, he would not recant that story. Like, he saw Bigfoot down there.
And yeah.
You weren't going to change his mind. You know, he didn't care that what you thought of him. He saw it.
Kind of hard mistaking something like that.
Right, right. And I, and again, back when I was a kid, I can't give you the exact details, like how tall it was or how far away it was or anything like that, because we were making fun of him. You know, and I feel bad now, but. So, yeah.
So you possibly had your Bigfoot encounter, just didn't quite see it, but you heard it.
Right, right. Heard it, and there was something very large outside that horse trailer that night that took off through the woods, and it was able to take one step in the middle of that 30-foot creek bed.
Yeah. Large jump or large stride. Yeah.
Right.
Powerful enough to jump that far. Yeah.
Well, not only that, like I said, it sounded like it was running through trees, like breaking branches and stuff like that. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, when a deer or whatever runs through the brush, that sounds a lot different than whenever you're breaking branches and stuff off the trees and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a very large whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of, I had some other little weird things happen as far as Bigfoot's concerned, but I've only told this story. This will be like the fourth time I've told this story.
Ooh.
It's very, very recent. It's happened November 30th, 2024. Okay. And I will apologize now because I may get a little emotional telling this story.
Okay.
So my wife and I, we had spent the day Christmas shopping in Ohio. I live very close to the Ohio border. I live in Indiana, but very close to Ohio, and I grew up in Ohio. So we spent the day over in Greenville Christmas shopping, and it was about 7 o'clock at night, and we were driving back towards our house. We're going up State Route 28, coming out of Union City, going into, it was between Union City and Deerfield. And like I said, it's very late at night. This is a rural area. And there's nothing but fields on either side of the road. You know, you got houses and stuff, but it's farmland. Very pretty straight. There's a couple little bends in the road, you know, whatever, but no like sharp curves or anything. I'm cruising about probably about 60 mile an hour. There's another vehicle ahead of me. You're from the Midwest, so you know that time of year, deer are very active.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be pretty vigilant while you're driving at night, because you never know when you're going to come across 30 of them or whatever. But one of the things you do when you're driving like that is you watch the car in front of you. You know, you're looking to see if they slam on their brakes or swerve. Or another thing is you can see if a deer walks in between you and the car in front of you, you'll see it block out the lights or whatever. So, you know, I'm paying attention. In this car, it's hard to estimate distance at night. Maybe 300 yards, maybe a little farther. I don't know. But it doesn't do anything. Like it's just cruising along. So we come to this, this bridge, and it's a this little stream feeds the Mississinewa River, which is about a mile away. But so as we're driving around, I get to this bridge, and on the other side of the bridge, at first there's nothing in the road. Like it's a clear road. And then something appears in the road. And when I say appears, like, it's like it blinked into existence. 1 minute or 1 second, it's not there. Next second, it is. And all I can see is, first, all I see is like a gray mass. And the closest I can describe the color would be like cigarette ash.
Okay.
And it appeared maybe 50 to 75 yards in front of me. So, you know, doing 60 mile an hour, it doesn't take long to, this whole encounter only took maybe 2 to 3 seconds. Okay. But in the moment, time kind of slowed down. And, you know, when you're under a stressful situation, time slows down. But so, say I see something gray is on the center line of the road. As I got a little closer, I realized it was the upper body of a man. It looked like it was like standing, like holding itself up on its knuckles.
Okay.
Kind of like it was doing like a push up, you know? But I could only see from like where the belly button would have been up. But, it was muscular, not like bodybuilder muscular, but like somebody who's in shape, you know?
Yeah.
Gray skin. At first it had its head turned like it was looking at something off to its right. And then it turned and it looked at me. And it didn't have a mouth or nose. It was like if skin was over top of it, like it just pulled down.
Yeah.
But the worst part about it was it didn't have any eyes. Like there were sockets.
Ooh.
But no eyes. And I don't know if, like, there was no eye shine or anything like that. So I don't know if it was just the way the light was hitting its face that it made it look like it didn't have any eyes, but I didn't mm-hmm. see eyes.
Yeah.
There's no hair on this thing. It was bald. I didn't see ears. So I can't tell you. I don't know if he even had ears. I don't know. But as we come up on it, it turns and it looks. I feel like it's looking at me. And I swerve because as I got closer to it, it's up on its knuckles. With its right hand, it kind of like, it's not a step, but like moved towards me. And then with its left hand, it like swiped at the car.
Ooh.
And my wife, she was on her phone doing a Walmart order for pickup the next day or whatever. So she wasn't paying attention. So I swerve and I'm like, did you see that? She's like, no, I didn't see anything. And it took me several minutes of driving before I could even describe to her what I saw. Because I had, like, when I saw this thing, I've never been that afraid.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah.
Like it was just this overwhelming fear. And I'm pretty sure I started crying at that point. Finally I'm able to tell her what I see, and she's like, do you want to go back? I'm like, hell no. I don't want to see that thing again. So I get home and I do a lot of work with Nevermore Hollows podcast. So the guys from there, they're very like-minded, very, very good friends of mine. I call Alan. I'm like, dude, I got to tell you what I saw. And he's like, let me get Chris on the line. And I tell him what I saw, and we start trying to hash it out. And like this whole time, you know, while I'm talking to him, I'm doing much better telling this story this time than I have in the past.
Yeah.
But I was very emotional while I'm telling this story. And so they kind of get me calmed down. They asked me, they said, did you hit it? And I mean, if you've ever hit an animal, you know, the sound it makes, or, you know, I don't remember hearing anything. Didn't feel anything. So I talked to them for probably 20, 30 minutes. Just, you know, and they get me calmed down, and they'd asked that question, you know, did you hit it? So I went outside and I needed a cigarette. I'm literally shaking at this point, you know. So I go out and I get to thinking about it, and I'm like, I wonder if I did hit it. So I go out and I check the front fender. There's no damage to it, nothing on that. And like I said, this is, by this time it's 8, 9 o'clock at night. It's dark. It's November, you know. So I've got my flashlight on my phone. I get to the driver's side door, and I'll send you these pictures. There's 4 finger marks down the side of the car.
Oh.
When I measured them the next day, from fingertip to fingertip was 8 inches.
Wow.
Not only that, if I'm imagining it, because it was its left hand that it used to swipe at the car, it would be like the pinky finger and the ring finger. I'll send you these pictures. They're like close together. Like they were really close together, and the other two were spread out.
Interesting.
So yeah, it touched my vehicle.
Yeah.
I can send these pictures to you right now. But yeah, we've went over what it might have been. I've talked to several like-minded people about what happened that night. You know, we've went through everything from a ghoul to, at one point I went on a show called The Drunken Cryptids. And after telling my story, one of the fans commented it might've been an Nelusa.
Nelusa.
When I looked into the Nelusa, one of the descriptions that made me think that possibly for a little while that this might've been what it was that the Nelusa causes you to have like immense fear and sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I was like, well, maybe that's what that is. But then the more I looked into the Nelusa, the physical description doesn't match. the Nelusa sounds more to me like a rake or a pale crawler, something like that, you know, very okay. spindly, very skinny. But I was doing my live show and I sent you those pictures.
Okay.
I was doing my live show one night and Rod from Lodge Tales podcast stumbled across my live and we started talking and, he ends up texting me later on. Can you see that?
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah. I put my, like, if I hold my hands up and hold those fingers like this.
Yeah.
I can't even get close to the 8 inches that was from fingertip to fingertip. Like even with my hands spread out, with the fingers spread all the way out, the best I could do is like 6, 6.5. So yeah. Wow. That was 8 inches from fingertip to fingertip.
I mean, it's amazing that you came out of that experience with some kind of like proof, if you will, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. So wow. after I took those pictures, I come back in the house and my wife looks at me and she goes, "What's wrong?" Like she could see it like written on my face. I'm like, "It touched the car." And, you know, I show her the pictures and, you know, she, "Oh my God," you know, and they were on there. Those fingerprints were on there for like, I don't know, a month.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to get close to them. I don't know. To wash them off or whatever, but
yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, Rod from Lodge Tales podcast comes in and he had heard my story and he texts me and he's like, "You know, we have a spirit called dragging entrails full of dirt." And when he described this thing, pretty sure that's what I saw. This Native American spirit, it's a half creature, like a half man. I never saw the bottom half of this thing. Like when I first described it, I told Alan and Chris that I felt like it was coming up out of the ground. Like for one, it blinked into existence. And then two, I couldn't see below like where the belly button was. So, you know, and I felt like it was crawling out of the ground. So he tells me this story about the dragging entrails full of dirt. And I believe it was, this creature that he's describing, this spirit, it's a half, upper half of a man that feeds on unborn babies in the womb.
Oh,
that's why it doesn't have a mouth or nose. It like this thing that I saw, like I said, you could see the sockets where the eyes were. There was no like even bump for a nose. There was no hole for a mouth. It just kind of went down to its jaw and it was like flat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing my show and this woman comes in from the Philippines. She starts talking about a creature called the tick-tick. This is a half-bodied creature that feeds on unborn babies in the womb in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. The only difference between what she described and what Rod from Lodge Tales described is, in the Philippines, this thing has wings. That's the only difference.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what I saw that night, but that's probably the closest description to what I saw.
Yeah. Could you tell like with like the texture, like, was it like a smooth appearance? Could you tell if it was like a texturized, I don't know, skin, or could you make any of that detail out?
It seemed very smooth. Like I said, like, especially on the face,
mm-hmm.
like if that was skin that was on it, it was pulled tight. It was, you know,
sure.
It was very form to the skull or whatever.
Yeah.
The body was very fit. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could see the muscle definition in its chest and in its arms and everything like that. And I never saw the fingers. So mm-hmm. when I saw it, it was on its knuckles, like it was holding itself up with its fists.
Yeah.
And when it swiped at the car, I just saw its arm come up. I never saw the fingers. So I can't describe the hands.
Yeah. After you found the marks on the car, did you feel a little bit better or worse about the situation? Because at least then you're like, okay, I know I wasn't hallucinating anything, but did that almost make it worse?
Don't know that's a really good question. It kind of gave me validation. Like I'm not going crazy, you know, because part of me wishes my wife would have seen it that night.
Yeah.
Another part because this still affects me. I have to drive down that road about once a week, every 2 weeks. And when I get to that area, like, I feel my heart rate go up. I feel tense. So the fear I wouldn't want my wife to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been nice just for somebody else to see it, just to say, you know, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
But the fingerprints, you know, I guess did help because look, I can't make this. With my wife and my kids, I'm like, look, my hand isn't this big.
Yeah.
You know, this thing was huge as far as its hands. Now, as far as the creature itself, I would estimate that its upper body, maybe 3.5 feet from as far as what I saw, because its head was just above the hood of our SUV.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when it was up on its arms, it was 3.5 to 4 feet. So I don't know how tall it would have been if it would have been a full creature.
Sounds massive.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much double that. So it could have been 7 to 8 feet. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm proud of myself though, because this is the first time I've told this story and I didn't cry. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you think that your interest or you kind of looking into the paranormal more now has opened you up to seeing something like this? Or why now? You know?
I've thought about that. That's been a question that's been asked. I think even though I've had my own paranormal encounters, I know ghosts are real. Mm-hmm. I start listening to these people tell their stories and giving them a sounding board. Okay. I still think that at that point, these were just things. Mm-hmm. They were something else. Okay. I think I needed that to happen to make me realize that this stuff is all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spiritual battle going on between God and the devil. And I needed that to make me choose at that point. Do I want to run away from this stuff and pretend it doesn't exist? Or do I accept that there is a spiritual realm? And what I saw that night, what I feel that was that night, was the enemy saying, here I am. I'm real. You know, you're making light of this. And it's not. There's a very, very real spiritual battle going on, and the paranormal is involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I needed that to say, okay, which side are you choosing? put it that way.
Yeah. So it hasn't made you hesitant on continuing with hearing more stories. It has been more of a more validation, if you will.
If anything, it made me want to do it more because now that I've come to this realization about this spiritual battle, I feel like more people need to hear these stories. So maybe they can come to the realization that I've come to, because, you know, there's people that come on and you hear things that are just so bizarre, and they, you know, your rational mind's like, it can't be true. But for me, I lived through it. You know, I saw this thing that doesn't exist. Like, there's no way this thing can exist. There's no half human thing with this massive hand. You know, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it does. When you stop looking at it from a rational scientific mind and you start looking at the spiritual side of it, you know, by the time this airs, you'll be able to go back and listen to an episode that's getting ready to drop. But I had two pastors and another podcaster sit down, and we did a roundtable discussion about the Bible and how it relates to the paranormal. And because there's a lot of references to the paranormal in the Bible. And I hope, fingers crossed, that I don't lose a bunch of followers because of it, because, you know, there are super people that are like that. But I'm hoping that people walk away from listening to that, realizing there's more to this life that we don't see.
Yeah.
And it very much is spiritual, very much good versus evil.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that was like, how do you top that story?
I don't want to. you know, people have asked me, do you want to see it again? Hell no.
No.
No. I hope nobody sees that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was meant for me to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing all those stories, especially the last one. It's such a vulnerable, puts you in a vulnerable state of mind. It's, you know, people, you know, they're very judgmental when they hear stories such as that. That's major, you know, it's huge. So I appreciate you sharing that with me today. Before we end, do you want to let everybody know again where they can find your show?
Yeah. Yeah. Myths, Monsters, and Mullets. You can find it on YouTube, most of your podcast players, not all of them. Not there yet, but on most of them. And then on TikTok, you can look up either john.c.h.methenkamp, or you can look up Myths, Monsters, and Mullets. You'll find me there. I do a live show every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And all you have to do is come in and say, hey, I want to tell a story, and put you in the box.
Awesome. I love it. Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. And we'll have to do it again sometime.
All right. Perfect.
I do thank you for embarking on this chilling journey to unlocking the paranormal mysteries of the world. Beyond this episode lies a realm of enigmas waiting to be unveiled. I never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await by following the show wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is independently produced, and sharing it with friends, family, and your favorite coworkers helps me immensely. Don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to join in and become a Paranormal Pen Pal to have your story shared on a ParaPals episode, email your story to unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. Stay tuned for our next episode and keep an eye out for those riddles and clues, where we will venture further into the labyrinth of the supernatural. Until next time, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.